Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I bet you most of you have heard somebody in church get up and say, well, I didn't obey God. I didn't give in the offering, or I wasn't doing something, and the Holy Spirit has just made me miserable. He won't leave me alone, man. And then they'll stand up and say, finally, all right, here's the money. I'm finally going to give, and everybody claps. That's a sorry testimony. That's a sorry testimony that you don't want to do it, but the Holy Spirit just made you miserable until you had to do it. That's not right. That's not the Holy Spirit. It was your conscience that made you miserable. It was your conscience that smote you. You knew in your heart that you aren't doing what you're supposed to do. And it's your conscience. That's what this is talking about. If our heart condemns us, and it's taken for granted here that this is because you did something wrong, and so therefore your conscience is condemning you. God is greater than your heart and knows all things. God's not like your conscience. Your conscience will condemn you, and your conscience will make you feel bad, and your conscience will make you feel unworthy. It'll make you feel naked before God. But God is never like that. God is greater than your heart, than your conscience. He's not going to condemn you. Man, that is awesome to me. When I first saw these scriptures again, I thought, God, if you really loved me, I wouldn't feel this way. I would feel your love, and I would just have so much confidence and boldness that I would just know it. I wouldn't have to work for it. It'd just be there. And these scriptures showed me that, no, your heart can condemn you. All of us have had a conscience that has been totally out of whack. And then religion, the law, brought it back to a proper standard, made it come alive, amplified our sin. And those of us who have lived in religion have an overactive conscience that is just condemning us constantly. And I can guarantee you that the average Christian is feeling unworthy, condemned, separated from God, when the truth is God isn't upset at you. God is not mad at you. Your own conscience is condemning yourself. I don't even believe you can blame the devil for it. I believe that the devil may have been the one who started it. He may have taught you the wrong things, but now you are just doing a bang-up job of ruining your own life. The devil can go on vacation because you just condemn yourself constantly. You're your own worst enemy. I have people all of the time come to me and say, why is it that I can pray for other people and I see other people healed of all kinds of things and I can't get healed? Well, there's multiple reasons for that, but one of them is because, you know what, you're more gracious to other people than you are to yourself. You will look at another person and you know that they aren't everything that they should be, but you will minister love and mercy to them, but you will be harder on yourself than you are on anybody else. And the bad part is you know you better than you know anybody else. You not only know the things that you've done wrong, you know the attitudes that you've got, the thoughts that you're thinking, your doubts, your fears, and you just condemn yourself. And this is why a lot of people will have no doubt and they will minister love and mercy towards another person, but they can't receive it themselves because you are harder on yourself than you are anybody else. That's your conscience. God is not the one doing that. This says that your heart condemns you when God isn't condemning you, and that's your conscience. So, man, this liberated me when I finally found out that, you know, this feeling, this awareness of me being unworthy and unable to do things, that's not God. That's not God that's doing that. That's my own conscience doing it because I haven't sprinkled it from an evil conscience. I haven't purged it with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't assured my heart, and I'm just allowing my conscience to function like a spoiled brat. It's not being disciplined. It's not being controlled. I'm not dictating to it. It's dictating to me. And when I saw that, man, it changed. It made a difference in my life. I quit just going by how I felt. And I started going by what the Word of God says, and I started letting the Word of God dominate me. You know, this is so simple. You got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand what I'm saying. And yet the average person just allows their conscience to just condemn them. They go around feeling unworthy, and I can quote what the Bible says. Well, yeah, I know that the Bible says that, but it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Most people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. This is what I feel. I don't care what the Bible says. I feel this. I had a woman in our Bible school who I was listening to one of her teachings. She gave it to me, and she was real proud of this teaching. And she talked about this girl that she was dealing with, and the girl hated her parents and had rebelled at her parents. And this woman was ministering to the girl, and the woman knew the parents of this girl. And this woman said, you know what? Those parents were good parents. They weren't perfect, but they were good parents. And this girl had taken an offense where none was intended. You know, just because the parents wanted her to go to church, just because the parents wanted her to, you know, put some restrictions on her for her own good, she misinterpreted it, that they hate me, they aren't doing anything. So this girl took an offense, and she was bitter and angry at her parents and mad at them. And this woman even said in this teaching, I knew that this girl's opinion was wrong. It wasn't true. She had taken an offense where it wasn't justified. But then she went on and says, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. To her, it was true. And so she went ahead and walked this girl through the steps of forgiving her parents. And man, when I heard that, I pulled that cassette tape out of that thing and threw it out the window. I was mad as I could be. Boy, that infuriates me, because this is descriptive of our world today. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. It's just I feel it. And if I feel it, it doesn't matter what reality is. You know, all of us have done things like, well, you know, we used to sing this song about everybody hates me, nobody loves me, I'm going to eat a worm. Big ones, fat ones, little bitty, skinny ones, itsy bitsy fuzzy wuzzy worms. Did y'all ever sing that song? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. You know that's not true. But, you know, I feel like it. This is the Elijah syndrome. Elijah had been told by Obadiah that there were 100 prophets that he had hid the entire time and had been feeding them with bread and water for 3 years. Elijah knew there were still 100 preachers that were serving God. And yet in 1 Kings chapter 19, the Lord appeared and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he says, Lord, I've been zealous for you. I've done all of these things. And I only am left. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. He knew it wasn't true. He had facts to the deception, but that's what he felt. And so he just went by what he felt. And so the Lord came by in a mighty earthquake and in a wind and in a fire. And then he came back and asked him this question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? You know, if the Lord asked you the same question twice, it's because you answered wrong the first time. If he lets you retake the test, don't put the same answer down. You're going to flunk again. This isn't smart. But Elijah said the exact same thing. Lord, I've been zealous for you, and I only am left. And God says, that's it. Go anoint your successor. And Elijah's ministry was over. He did a couple of things, and he recovered, and he actually got translated into heaven. But boy, there was a lot of bad things that happened, all because he just went by what he felt. And he knew, he had been told that there were still people serving the Lord, but it didn't matter what the truth was. This is what I feel. And it cost him his ministry. And it cost, like, for instance, Naboth got killed by Ahab because Elijah didn't do what God told him to do. There were people, there was a woman that actually ate her own son, that whole famine and the Syrians surrounding him was on Elijah's feet because he didn't do what God told him to do. People died because of it, because he sat there and indulged his feelings. I'm telling you, we need to grow up. Little kids don't feel like going to school, and so they just don't do it. But, you know, part of growing up is there's times you don't feel like going to work, but you do it. You become responsible and you start doing what you have to do. You know, there's times that you don't feel like changing another diaper, but you do it. There's times that you don't feel like, you know, what? How come I had five kids? What was I thinking? Amen. But you've done it and you just got to deal with it. And that's part of growing up. We need to grow up spiritually and just realize that, you know what? I don't care what I feel like. God loves me. That's what the Bible says. And I refuse to go by how I feel. I know it doesn't look like I'm healed, but the Bible says I'm healed. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to act like I'm healed. I'm going to talk like I'm healed. I'm going to assure my heart that I'm healed. And you just stand against the doubt and the unbelief. You know, some of you might notice that I had this thing on my ear for 6 years. I was out in the sun and I got this bad blister and I just got tired of it and I ripped the thing off. And because of it, for 6 years, that ear didn't heal up. And I had doctors come to me. I never went to a doctor, but I had doctors come to me and say, boy, that's a melanoma. You got cancer. You're going to lose this ear. And you know, I was at Charlotte, North Carolina, a year ago, September, and I prayed for two people in one night who had the exact same thing on their ear, and they had cut their ear off. And they asked me to pray for them. And so here I was with this thing on my ear praying for other people's ear. I figured, you know, that's a good opportunity to give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. So I'd magnify, amplify the healing coming to me by giving it away to somebody else. And you know what? For 6 years, I had people say things to me. I had people look at that. I had people that just, anyway, I could tell you a lot of the stuff. And I had to assure my heart. And I say, I don't care what people say, and I don't care what it looks like. I'm standing on the Word of God.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the human conscience. This new teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is available as a brand new book or in a live CD album. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Who Told You That You Were Naked when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify book or CD album. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request Assuring Your Heart when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area.
I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, you've been listening to this radio and I know it's touched you. People's lives are being changed. And I'd like to ask you to just sow some seed and help us to reach out and touch more people. We are on radio stations all over the United States, of course, television and other things, and it just costs a lot of money to deliver the gospel to people. So I'd ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. A grace partner is a person who gives on a monthly basis but doesn't receive material back. You're just giving to help us reach out. So pray about it. If the Lord leads you, then please become a grace partner with us today.